How do you build a business that has a waiting list for you? How do you get to a point where your business has clients waiting to work with you? Now, everybody dreams about it, everybody thinks about it, but generally, most people will hope, pray, imagine that one day their big break will happen and they'll build to a point where they can pick and choose who they want to work with. They can choose how many hours they work. Most businesses think that that might just happen if they do things. I want to just dispel the myth that that happens all by itself. It's actually engineered. For you to become an expert in demand, you have to engineer it. There is an element of human psychology, and by no means am I an expert in this field, but I know enough from 20 years of working with businesses who want to create demand for their services. So when we think about how do we create a business where you are in demand? Well, there's two types of demand. The first one is you're so flipping busy that you're overrun and working far too many hours. That's the first version. And every business has phases like that. The other one is where you have people wanting to work with you and you can pick when, how often you work. That takes design. The other one, where you're overrun with work and feel like you're on a merry-go-round that doesn't seem to stop, you get that just by doing stuff. That just comes to you. That just happens. And unless you decide to change things, that will always be the case. So how do we build a business where you have enough demand that you can choose who you service? First things first, right? There is this eccentricity of human nature that if something is accessible, it's not valued. And if something is inaccessible, it's valued. Now, many times people think, oh, I don't want to be a diva. I don't want to let people down. But let me just unpick where that comes from. It actually comes from a fear of getting nothing that you become more accessible. So from a fear of, what if I don't get any clients? What if I don't get any business? How will I pay the bills this month? From that fear comes the accessibility. If I get out there, I push more, all of that stuff. From that fear. Versus when you make yourself less accessible, actually it becomes more attractive. Now, I've been in the scenario and I've been in that space where I needed clients and I'd take on any client at any cost. And if you're in that space right now, you probably think I'm talking a load of crap. But I've seen this many, many times where if you set out your stall, you find your sweet spot and then you set out your stall in the right way, you can actually completely shift your business. So first of all, you have to create the demand for your service. You can't just wait for people to come to you, or you can't just go out to the market to hunt for the people who are looking for what you offer. You have to create your own demand. That is about convincing an audience that you are their best choice. You are the creme de la creme of solutions. You bring the most certainty to outcome. What do I mean by that? Every buyer, B2B, B2C, consumer, CEO, does not matter. When they buy something, they're not buying features, they're buying an outcome. They're not buying your logo design, they're not buying your coaching, they're not buying your marketing services, they're buying an outcome. They've imagined the outcome already. And they're buying it because they're in pain, they're fed up of where they are right now, and they are at the point where they want to make change. So they are in a space where it's hurting and they want to be somewhere else. It's all about convincing people that you are the best choice for them. That's an emotional decision which your customers, your future clients, will justify with logic. It's an emotional decision first. It's a gut feeling. It's a, I gel with that person. And then it's backed up with logic. The only way that you can build to a business where you can pick and choose who you work with is if you make yourself, one, more exclusive. Two, you bring greater certainty to the outcomes that are in the minds of your clients. And three, you have to be elevated and elevate your own authority. Now, from a British person saying this, yeah, I struggle with these personally. Although I do them, I struggle with them simply because we are taught, whether it's cultural, I don't know, we are taught to be understated. And lots of other cultures are a bit more in your face. The challenge is the sweet spot is actually to be very, very confident in what you deliver and not overstepping into arrogance. Now, if you are the foremost marketing consultant on the planet, you can be understated. You can, because your results are so well known, so widely known, it's like beyond question. Yeah, there's a widespread belief that if you're involved in a project, it's going to succeed. But if you're not that, if you're a, you know, you're excellent at what you do, but you don't have that platform, you have to be more confident, not arrogant, but more confident. You have to present with more confidence. You have to believe in what you say. You have to be unafraid and unashamed to be strong about the results and the impact you can deliver. Never step into arrogance. Arrogance is a detestable quality. And, you know, you can spot it a mile off, where it's people who are full of swagger and but no substance. So you have to hold that balance really well. And then you have to speak from that position. So if you're a marketing consultant or coach, you have to speak to your audience in their position, where they are right now, and speak with confidence and clarity about how they get from where they are to where they want to be. The only way you can build the business where you can choose who you work with, where you could build a waiting list, is actually if you are so in demand and so authoritative and people are so confident in the outcomes they can get from working with you. That's the only way. They have to have those things. And it's your job to put those things in their world. It's not your job to tell them how amazing you are. It's your job to project it. And one of the things that bugs me so much about social media, despite social media being one of the best channels to build a business, one of the things that bugs me about social media is people don't get the projection versus bragging. Now, projection is where people pick up on the results you bring and pick up on how you do things, and so it gives them confidence. The other one is the loudmouth, I'm going to tell you how amazing I am, and brag about numbers. The sad thing is it does work. But for the mature audience, it looks scammy. It does. It really does look scammy. So, and I'm not sure they have a waiting list, and I'm not sure they can charge more than anybody else. So your job, if you want to get those right clients, if you want to work the right amount of hours, you don't want to flood yourself and swamp yourself with keeping busy because your fees are so low, you have to work 40 hours a week of billable time to actually make a decent living. Think about it. Go look at your price points. Times it up by how much money you want to make as an individual, whether it's an individual or a business. How much money do you want to make? What capacity do you have to run at to make that money? And let me tell you, if you want to build a business where you are an employee, you need to run at the same capacity that your employees work at. So an employee typically in the UK works at 60% of capacity. So 60% productivity. So let's put that into a coach's world, for an example. If you're a coach and you want to make money, you want to have a great life and great business, you need to work at 60% of, you're only capable of working at 60% of your capacity, distractions, all that kind of stuff. So 60% of your time has to be spent on billable revenue activities, things that are making you money. So in other words, coaching sessions, all that stuff that you are being paid to do. The reality is, can you fill and would you want to fill your coaching practice to 60% capacity to make good money? You'd probably want it to be a record month or record year if you ran at 60% all the way through the month or all the way through the year. The reality is, you should price that you're making good money at 30% capacity. 30% of your time is spent on billable stuff. Now go rework your maths on that. Go rework, how much money do I need to charge to earn a good living, to make the profit in the business, running at 30%, half the capacity that I'm capable of. Yes, you can do 40 hours of coaching, but you would be no use to anybody. You would have no insight, no guidance, because you'd be exhausted. So if you go 30% capacity, can you make really good money? Can you get help to scale the business at that point? Or is it still just you flogging yourself? So you need to reevaluate the business model you've got. Then you need to reevaluate how you're going to market so that you can command the prices that you now need, not should, not might, you need to charge. You don't have a viable, scalable, long-term business if you're running flat out to make profit. You have to assume that there is a level of inefficiency, a level of your own lack of productivity in your business. So if we unpick that and go, right, okay, let's say I'm charging £100 an hour. I'm just going to do this in very simple maths. I'm charging £100 an hour. Okay, and for me to make really good living, I need to work 30 hours, which is, you know, £3,000 a week. So that's your baseline. I want to make £3,000 a week, and £100 an hour. So that is 30 hours of a week. And if you're going to work 40 hours a week, that assumes you're going to run at 75% capacity. 75% of your time is going to be productive. That's totally unrealistic, right? So let's go, okay, if I do the same metrics, but now I'm going to work at 60% capacity. So that's 40 hours a week. That would bring me to, I'm doing the maths on the fly here. But if I do £100 an hour and now I'm doing 60% capacity, so 60%, so that's six, that's 24 hours. I'm now doing £2,400 a week. Yep. And I'm just using this as a very simple exact analogy. The reality is you're never going to work at that level of productivity. So I would encourage you to look at it this way and go, actually, I need to work at 12 hours. 12 hours a week of client-facing time. So that means I'd only make £1,200 a week. So the reality is, if I want to build a scalable and sustainable business, I actually need to charge more like, it's more like £250 an hour to do 12 hours a week. Is just roughly, it's just roughly £3,000 a week. These are all rough maths. Yeah, do it on your own piece of paper. Now you go, how am I going to get people to pay £250 an hour? That's where We now are not talking about you as a commodity. We're now talking about you as a valuable asset to your clients. So £250 a week sounds a huge amount for coaching, especially considering you're charging £100, right? But let me tell you how you do that. You do that by actually focusing in on, okay, what I'm going to do is my clients are buying into me for a result. They want an outcome at the end. Maybe at my £100 an hour, I've been doing that, but I've actually been appealing to people who are not the right fit. Maybe I've been appealing to people who don't see the coaching as an important thing. The other thing, and I hate the truth of this, I really hate the truth of it, but it is true, is I hate it, I really do. When somebody pays £100 an hour for something, some of you listening to this might seem like £100 an hour is a lot of money. In today's world, it isn't, yeah? It's like a visit to the dentist, yeah? The world's moved on in pricing, but sometimes in our heads, we're still sat in the same space. We're still thinking about things like it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago. £100 now is, for some people, it's an evening out for themselves. So we need to think about this in a very different context. But as soon as you attach an hour to a price, people go, that's a lot of money for 60 minutes. But of course, you're not selling 60 minutes. You're selling a result or an outcome at the end of your coaching sessions. But as soon as you anchor your price to minutes and hours, the value of those hours is determined by the number of minutes or hours they get. Common sense, right? So you're selling minutes time for money. People I'm going to get sidetracked here, but I'm going to go for it. We're all paid an hourly rate somewhere, you know, if you think about it, internally, whether we're employed, whether a business owner, whether we're a solopreneur, we do X amount of work for X amount of hours. That's the reality of it. But some hours are worth more than others because some are doing paperwork and some are making money. So not all hours are equal. So the difference is the impact you make in the hour. So one of the big concepts is about framing and understanding how people anchor prices. If you start to talk about hours, people anchor that to minutes and time, and they compare it against their own world. I go, I don't get paid £250. You're on a hiding to nothing. You're on a hiding to nothing. Particularly if you're not foremost, lawyer, solicitor, coach, whatever. It's a different story if you're in that kind of stratospheric realm where you can just say it and it doesn't matter. So if you're charging £250 an hour, you need to, instead of attaching your price to the hour, you attach it to the outcome so that the people frame it against the outcome and not against the time. The only way that time and money connect together to your financial advantage is if you can do something highly valuable result-wise for the client in a short period of time. So if I said to you, in 90 minutes, I can change the way you think about your business and help you make more money in 90 minutes, but that 90 minutes is going to cost you $2,500. I'll just give you this as a framework. What I do with clients is I will say, right, we will change the way you think about your business and show you how to make more money in a day. And I'll charge £7,000 for that day. And we will unpick their business, we will unpick what they're selling, and we'll put it back together again in a way they can make more money and sell it easier. So when I do that, I do it in a day. Now, I don't say it's however much an hour, £1,000 an hour. I actually turn around and say, this is what we're going to do in the day. Yeah, and what's your goals in terms of revenue? Let me know that. What's your average sale value? Let me know who your customer base is so I can understand that. And I will come armed with, let's unpick this. Let's find a way through this. And by the end of the day, they have total clarity on how they can sell the same stuff or similar stuff positioned differently to make more money. So the only way you can make money, and we're kind of going off topic here, by coupling to time and make money and charge higher prices is if it's a short amount of time. How nuts is that? So sometimes human psychology messes with our logic. And this is the thing. If we can help people achieve something fast, they expect a higher price. But any other time that you couple your price to time, you are heading for trouble. You're heading for commoditization. So just remember this exercise. If you're charging £100 an hour and you do 30 hours, you make £3,000 a week. But the reality is you're not going to sustain that because that's more than the average productivity of human beings in the United Kingdom. So the reality is you're probably to be just at the same level as the United Kingdom average workforce, you'd be doing 24 hours to make £2,400 at £100 an hour. What I'm advocating is you build your business assuming that you can only run at 30% capacity, 30% productivity, which means that you have to price, if you want your £3,000 a week, you have to price accordingly, which forces you to ask the question, and this is the question, this is the killer question of this episode. What's the difference between a £100 an hour coach and a £250 an hour coach? Now, I know I'm saying don't price on hours. You can bundle it. You can do a program. You can do an 8-week program with so many hours involved. You don't promote the hours. You just say, this is the 8 weeks. This is what we're going to be doing. It's broken down into 8 sessions that we'll run for. You don't have to attach it to the hour. But for the sake of argument, what's the difference between £100 an hour and a £250 an hour coach? All of your answers will be things that are nothing to do with the coaching. Bet you any money. It'll be about their authority. It'll be about their marketing. It'll be about their message. It'll be about their methodology. It won't be about, because I'm pretty much convinced the vast majority of people who go into coaching, for an example, they go into it because they have a skill at helping people get clarity and solve their own problems. So, you know, all things being equal, pretty much coaching, there's obviously bad coaches, but generally, if you're set up to help people, what's the difference between a £100 an hour coach and a £250 an hour coach? So we could put experience. Yeah, that's a good one. We could put the marketing. We could put the message. The customer. Which customers are they going for? What else? What else could we put there? The issue. Yeah, the issue. What is it that the coach is fixing? Yeah. And actually, I'd encourage you just to think about this for a moment. Let's say there's always somebody who will charge more than you. Always. So you have to ask yourself, who do you want to serve? Do you want to serve people at £100 an hour? Right? And that's fine if you do. If you do, you may be doing coaching because it's your mission and all of that stuff, and that's fine. But actually, if you can deliver the outcome and do 250, you could actually do so many free coaching sessions for people who couldn't afford it. And you could do your kind of giving back piece for free and charge £250 an hour. So you could have a special scheme for people who can't afford it where you choose who you can help. But I tell you now, there are people ready and willing to pay £250 an hour for your coaching. The only thing stopping you, actually, I would argue, the main thing stopping you is the customers you're targeting, the issues you're targeting or the way you're targeting the issues, your message and your marketing. That's what's standing between you increasing your prices and actually building a business that can scale. Think about it. If you could work 12 hours a week and make £3,000 a week, you could employ somebody to help you. you could add an assistant coach, you could add a customer service person, you could add a marketer, you could add a copywriter, because now you've got budget to actually scale up, and then you could be an expert in demand. So thanks. Hopefully you've got some value from what I've been talking about. I know we went all over the place a little bit. If you want to have a chat with me, if you are struggling with how to get to that point where you feel like you've built a business that scales with you, that you're making the right amount of money, and you're getting the right clients, let's have a conversation. Drop me a line. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram. And I'd love to hear from you, get some feedback from you on the episode. And of course, wherever you're listening, I'd love you to like, subscribe, follow, comment, all that stuff. But I appreciate every single listener, and I hope I'm coming to you with value that will help you grow your business and become an expert in demand.